Comedy Capers.
Here we are with another edition of Comedy Capers, and this time we take you into the heart of the home, the kitchen. We've had all kinds of products, American-made, French-made, English-made, and Oriental-made, but we dedicate this program to that priceless possession, the kitchen-made. So grab yourself a cookie while the Comedy Capers ensemble stirs up a batch of harmony called Tin Pan Parade.
The zing and the zang and the bing and the bang of the big tin pan parade. Hear the zoom and the boom, we'll march through the room on the big tin pan parade. You never heard such tunes, say the clowns on the fans with a table boom.
Off they march to the cookies and plums. They soon have a pain in their tummy yum tums.
The captain, of course, has a broom for a horse, but leads them off to war. Little feet for retreat, if they meet with defeat, as they charge the kitchen door.
It's Waterloo for Napoleon, heavy tracks across the linoleum.
Clear the way, tip hooray for the big tin pan parade.
Thank you, boys. Thank you. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Phil Kramer, the big dame hunter, who is barging about the kitchen, and from the way he is scanning the feminine faces, he's out for no good. But here he is, Phil Kramer.
You know, these kitchen maids, you know, that reminds me of the time I was in a restaurant and had a little argument with a kitchen maid.
Was that so? Well, what was the argument about?
Well, I complained that there was a fly in my soup, and this kitchen maid said, why, you must be dreaming.
Oh, and when you told her there was a fly in your soup, and the kitchen maid said, you must be dreaming, and what did you answer?
I said, did you ever see a dream walking?
So, you know, I just saw you rush into the studio and knock Mabel down. Was she hurt much?
Oh, no, I just knocked the paint off of her.
Well, I see. Well, is she feeling all right now?
Yeah, she powdered her nose with plaster of Paris to keep a stiff upper lip.
Oh, don't let it throw you. You don't say now. I understand you're very fond of her, though. If she turned you down, would you commit suicide?
You bet. That has always been my custom.
Oh, it has. Well, did Mabel give you a nice birthday present? I understand you recently had a birthday.
That's right. She gave me a bathrobe for a present, but I can't use it.
What, do you mean to say you have no use for a bathrobe?
No, she ought to know that I bathe naked. Besides, Mabel is a modern girl.
A modern girl? Well, what makes you say that, Phil?
Because she packs a shotgun and a hope chest.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, I see by the papers that she won a horse race Saturday. I suppose she's resting on her laurels now?
Gosh, no. She can't sit down at all.
Well, how did it happen that Rash, the horse she rode, accidentally beat Dandruff, the other horse?
Well, Dandruff started to get ahead. Then Rash broke out in front without being scratched.
Oh, I see. I understand that Mabel stutters a lot. Does she go to school for her stuttering?
What for? She knows how to stutter.
Oh, no, no. No, I mean, does she always stutter like that?
No, only when she speaks.
Oh, I guess.
You see, she's stuttering to be an actress.
Uh-huh.
In fact, she wrote a play which I bought from her, and the play is very unusual.
Well, what is so unusual about the play, Phil?
Well, all the characters in the play stutter. The name of the play is Diabetes.
Diabetes?
Yeah, it's all about a sugar daddy, the sweetest story ever told.
Oh, I see. Well, what's the first act about?
There is no first act. All the characters are still unconscious from New Year's Eve.
Oh, you don't say. Wow. Have you chosen your characters for the play as yet?
Well, I'm going to get Tessie to play the old man.
Tessie? Why, can Tessie play an old man?
Can she? She's played more old men than anybody you know.
I'm not so sure.
And I need a bloodhound.
Oh, you do? Well, why don't you play the bloodhound, Phil? Nobody will notice the resemblance.
That's right. No, I can't play a bloodhound. I'm too anemic. I'll get Jack Brown.
Oh, you're going to get Jack Brown to play the bloodhound.
Yeah, I got the lowdown on his high blood pressure.
Oh, I get it.
Then I'll get Bill to play the eight-legged kitten.
What's that? Is there such a thing as an eight-legged kitten?
Sure, an octopussy. I'm not kidding you.
You know? Oh, I see. And then I'll, what are you going to do after that?
Oh, and then I'll get Vivian and Betty to play the Siamese twins.
Oh, I see. Well, why do you pick Vivian and Betty to play the Siamese twins?
Because I had a date with one of them and she couldn't break away.
I see. Sort of tied up, huh? But I understand you only have four pieces in that band of yours, and in a play like that, you'll need, eight pieces.
Oh, I can arrange that.
Well, how?
Well, I'll tell them a very funny joke, and they'll double up from laughter.
Well, how does the play end? What's the finish?
Well, while the characters are eating a good pie, they keep on singing.
Well, you don't say. Well, what do they keep on singing when they are eating a good pie?
They sing good pies forever.
Bill used to be a copper and made all the rear doors. I asked him where he met his latest girlfriend. He said she was kitchen maid. Ah, my glance strays to the eastward, and I notice three little scullery maids with their heads together, which probably means they are talking about their operations. No, I'm wrong. They're just telling the world in song about their old pappy. Great. The old pappy should be mighty proud of you all. Well, here he comes, folks, a-gawking about the kitchen. A man that says he was born hungry, and from his looks, he hasn't missed a meal since Abe Lincoln was a boy. He'll hand out his line and let the quips fall where they may, presenting Bill Ozark, the original Slow Brain Through Arkansas.
Thank you, Tom. Tom, every time I hear anybody mention kitchen maid, it reminds me of that fella Noah Webster that wrote the dictionary.
Well, what has Noah Webster got to do with kitchen maids?
Oh, nothing now. He's dead. But you know, Mr. Webster, that man couldn't stand to hear anybody use a word wrong.
Well, I've heard that he used to correct anybody who misused a word, but I still don't see what that has to do with kitchen maids.
Well, I don't want to be sued for slander, but, Tom, it is alleged that One day, Mrs. Webster walked back into the kitchen unexpectedly and found Mr. Webster kissing the kitchen maid. And he says, "Why, Noah, I'm surprised."
Well, what did him Noah say?
He says, "No, dear, you're astonished. I'm surprised."
Ah, Billy, wasn't that? Well, what did Mrs. Webster say then?
Well, she said she's kind of original woman, you know. She says, "What's sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander."
Oh, I see, very original.
Then the maid says, "Well, you can take your sauce on the goose or on the gander, but I'm going to take it on the lamb."
What did Noah say to that?
He said, "Yes, young lady, in view of the culmination of unpleasant circumstances, I think you'd better scram."
Good old Noah. Mm-hmm. It was pretty tough on the kitchen maid, though, losing her job like that, wasn't it?
Yeah, I know how she felt, Tom, because I had a job helping a cook in a hotel one time.
Well, how did you lose your job?
Well, the cook was roasting a turkey, and he told me the stove was pretty hot, and he says the turkey might burn, so he says, "I want you to stay here and watch it."
Yeah, well, don't tell me you went to sleep.
No, I didn't, but sometime later, the cook came over, and the turkey was nothing but a cinder,
oh.
Tom. He said, "I thought I told you to watch the turkey." And I says, "I did watch it. It started burning at exactly 2:15.
Well, you know, Bill, a good cook plays an important part in building our bodies.
Yeah, somebody's building yours, all right. You're putting it on in layers.
Maybe beer has something to do with that.
Yeah, it looks like you're getting one of those Milwaukee Gorders.
Well, I might go on the Doherty diet. However, instead of that, I think I'll try the Italian diet.
What do you mean, Italian diet?
Well, that's a diet consisting of nothing but plain, ordinary bread and the finest of Italian wine.
You know, that sounds pretty good. I believe I'll go on the diet with you.
Well, that's great. What do you say we start tomorrow?
That's swell, Tom. I'll bring the bread.
And now it's time to lock the kitchen door and put out the milk tickets, and thus ends the edition of Comedy Capers. Thanks, Bill Ozark. Come into the kitchen sometime, and I'll be feeding you.
Captain, of course, has a plan for a horse as he leads them off to war. Little place for a treat if they meet with a beat when the cards are kitchen door.
It's Waterloo
for Napoleon.
If he strikes across the linoleum,
clear the way, hip hooray for the big tin pan parade.
And now we end this edition of Comedy Capers dedicated to kitchen maids. And remember, it's what's made in the kitchen that matters, not how is the kitchen made. This is Tom Poe saying bye-bye, and I'll see you soon. Thank you.